This is Bhagavad Gita as it is.
This is sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Oh, we have books, good. And I'm looking at text number 19.
Yathādīpo nivātasto nengate sopamā smṛtā yogino yatacittasya yunjato yogamātmanaha. Yatha, as, dīpaha, a lamp, nivātastaha, in a place without wind, na, does not, ingate, waver, sa, this, upama, comparison, smṛta, is considered, yoginaha, of the yogi, yata chittasya, whose mind is controlled, yunjataha, constantly engaged, yogam, in meditation, atmanaha, on transcendence, as a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist, whose mind is controlled, remains always steady in his meditation on that transcendent self. Purport. A truly Krishna-conscious person, always absorbed in transcendence, in constant undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord, is as steady as a lamp in a windless place.
Yatha dīpo nivātasto nengate sopamā smṛtā yogino yatacittasya yunjate yogamātmanaḥ. The image is very vivid, illustrating the principle of yoga. Yoga indriya samyama. Yoga means to control the mind. The mind is accustomed to go this way and that way. It's called chanchala. Chanchala means going everywhere, unsteady. Chanchala, fickle. Chanchala hi mana Krishna pramati balavadridham. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva shudushkuram. The elsewhere, Arjuna says, this is very difficult business because the mind is fickle and stubborn, very strong and determined. So controlling the mind, Arjuna said, is something like controlling the wind. Very difficult. But Lord Krishna answered, asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena tukonteya vairagyena chakriyate. Asamshaya, I agree. You're undoubtedly right. Controlling the mind is very difficult business. Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham. It's difficult to control. But avyasena tukonteya. By practice, by suitable practice, it's possible. And vairagyena, by detachment. These two things are necessary. Detachment is one of the principles for spiritual advancement. A person who's insanely attached will have a difficult time in meditation. The Lord says elsewhere, what is that? Bhogaisharya prasaktanam taya paritachetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadho navadhiyate. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means, how are we going to control the mind? We have to control the mind by intelligence. We have to control the senses by intelligence. Because there's a hierarchy. Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param manaha. Manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paritastu saha. Higher than the objects, material objects of sense enjoyment, are the senses themselves. Higher than the senses is the mind, which is the center of the senses. Higher than the mind is the intelligence. And higher than the intelligence is the soul. So there's a higher self and a lower self. The lower self is the physical set of senses. And the higher self is, and mind goes with that. And the higher self is the intelligence and the soul, finally. So one has to control the lower by the higher. Just the way the king has to control the governor has to control the mayor has to control the citizens. There's a hierarchy. But that requires study intelligence. If we want to get something done with our intelligence, the intelligence has to be fixed. Just like studying. You can't just kind of pick up a book, flip a page or two, put it down, go off and do something else. You have to fix your intelligence. Now, what's going on here? What is the author saying? What does it mean? How should I understand it? How do I fix it in my memory? Intelligence works, but it needs to be focused. If it can't focus, it doesn't work. Just intelligence on the fly is not what's wanted. It's fixed intelligence. So that fixed intelligence should be used for spiritual progress. But that's very difficult if our mind, our mind is attached to material things. Some attachment may be there, but prasakta. Prasakta means strong attachment. Prasakta. Prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu. Strong attachment. So what kind of strong attachment? Bhogaisharya. Bhoga means enjoyment. Nice food. Nice dress. Nice things. Nice sex life. Nice wine. Nice. All whatever is going to make the senses happy. Drugs. Bhoga. Things simply, let me enjoy. What else do you have for me? Let me enjoy. Now what restaurant should we go to? Now what club should we go to? Now what should we see on television? Now what should we, what's the next enjoyment? Like a kid at a carnival. What should we go see next? So adults even are living their whole life that way. What can I buy next? What can I have next? What can I enjoy next? What can I experience next? So this is called bhoga. And aisharya means wealth, opulence. This is another attachment that we... There was some sign I saw in Bombay. I may not have the words exactly like right, but something, now that I've made my first million, what am I going to do? Work on my second million. That spirit, that the more more money I have, the better my position. Nice clothing, nice car, nice house. For what? For show. Others will see how nicely I'm dressed, how spiffy my car is, how nicely my wife is dressed, what club I belong to. When I drive up, they say, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. Good to see you again, sir. Yes, sir. Opulence, wealth. So, bhogaisharya prasaktanam. There are people who are madly attached to these things. Practically every one of us is a little bit mad after these things. We may not be the classic ultra-materialist, but we like it also. People look and say, ooh, see his car. We also like opulence. But the more we become attached to opulent life and sense enjoyment, the more difficult it becomes to have a peaceful, focused mind. To have our intelligence focused on spiritual realization is difficult when we're chasing around looking for the next high, for the next enjoyment. Bhogaisharya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samado navidhiyate. The intelligence, fixed intelligence needed for spiritual realization just never develops in those who are intensely attached to these things. Therefore, vairagyena, the advancement in human life that the materialist is thinking means to cultivate getting these material opulences. For the devotee or the yogi, his opulence is to leave these things, to do without these things, to become indifferent to these things. I get it, I get it. I don't get it, I don't get it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's more advancement. Whatever comes. If I get a big house, I get a big house. I get a smaller house, still I'll live. I'll sleep in the bigger house, I'll sleep in the smaller house also. 6 hours in the big house, 6 hours in the small house. Somehow, he'll be satisfied, whatever. That's more advancement. So, abhyasena tu kaunteya, vairagyena cha griyate. Krishna says, yes. It's possible to control the mind by suitable practice. There's unsuitable practice also. If the practice is not appropriate, you practice, 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 and there won't be any result. Or we won't be able to practice. We'll try it for 10 minutes or 10 days, 10 months, and then we'll say, oh, can't do it. But if it's suitable practice, then it will have an effect, and we'll be able to continue. It will be feasible to continue. So, and what will be the result? That's described here. Yata vato, yata dipo nivatasto. Deep means a lamp. And nivatasta. Nivatastha means a place where there's no wind. Vata means wind. Nengate sopamasmita, na ingate. In a place where there's no wind, a candle will burn very steadily. It's just steady, 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 steady. And where the wind is there, bam, 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 it's dancing all over the place. So, yogino yata chittasya. The consciousness of an accomplished yogi is like that flame in a windless place. It's steady. It's not zooming here and there, here and there, here and there. It's steady. Now again we come to that practice. What is that practice? Abhyas. Simply trying to stop the mind will be very difficult. As Arjuna said, Mano durnigraham chalam. If we simply try to beat the mind, stop the mind will just keep jumping and jumping. To make the mind empty, to make the mind zero, to have zero content, or simply to tell the mind, now be peaceful. Mind may be peaceful for a few minutes. Like a child, you sit and say, now, be quiet and sit nicely. And the child is quiet and sits nicely for about 20 seconds. And then he looks for some mischief to get into, because he's a child. So trying to make the mind simply inactive will be exceedingly difficult, practically impossible. To try to focus the mind on something empty will be unfeasible. Or to try to fix the mind on something impersonal or void will be very difficult. To think of something is possible. To think of nothing, or to think of something that has no qualities, will be a failure. Therefore, to steady the mind means to fix it on something positive. But what is that positive something? There are people who meditate by focusing their eyes on a candle, or they look at some mandala, or they look at some doorknob and something, and try to keep that mind on that thing. Well, that's all right. But usually their idea is that I'll focus my mind on this thing until I reach some transcendental state. And again, they're thinking their mind will be on something void or impersonal, and then they're going to be in difficulty again, because the law of gravity will apply. What goes up must come down. They'll perhaps get some peak of something, but it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. So sustainable, and if you sustain your meditation simply on a doorknob or a circle or a flame, what's the use? You're just meditating on some material object. Then you become doorknob conscious or flame conscious or circle conscious. So the suitable object of meditation is the absolute, the supreme, satyam param dhimahi. One should fix one's mind on the supreme. This is meditation. Sometimes another approach is to say some yogis, not really yogis, but purveyors of some sort of practice called yoga in the West, they say meditation means just let your mind go. See where it takes you. Allow it to go. Well, that's not yoga. That's wool gathering. That's spacing out. That's what the mind is doing already. It's already wandering here and there. So the practice they give you is what you're already practicing. Just let your mind go wherever it wants. That's not practice. That's not the spiritual practice. Spiritual practice means to focus the mind on the highest thing. Now, I may not have a clear understanding of what that highest thing is, but that's spiritual meditation, to try to bring my mind to that highest object. And here in the Bhagavad Gita, that highest object is identified as the Supreme Person. Or rather, in the Bhagavatam it said, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. The Absolute Truth is first realized impersonally as the all-pervading oneness, then realized as the presence of the superconsciousness within the heart, and ultimately realized as the personality of Godhead. All of these three are the same Absolute Truth, realized progressively in different phases, beginning with the impersonal feature, progressing to the feature as the supreme within the heart, and culminating in realization of the personality of Godhead. And each realization in the line includes the previous realization. So realization of the all-pervading oneness is included in realization of the supreme within the heart. And realization of the supreme within the heart is included within realization of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, one who meditates on the personality of Godhead is meditating on the complete feature of the Absolute Truth. So finally, meditation means to meditate on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. To meditate on Vasudeva, Krishna. This is meditation. In previous ages, this meditation in the Satyayuga was done by silent focusing of the mind. This, where we see that people are sitting in a yoga posture and performing breathing exercises and so on. That was the method in Satyayuga many thousands of years ago, when everyone was in the mode of goodness and people's minds were so peaceful that they could actually simply meditate. Just as, I don't know, sometimes if you've ever been to the Caribbean, there's some places, there's some islands, the water is so still that you can just look through it. It's like looking through glass. Absolutely still. So their minds were like that. So still, so unruffled, that they could simply sit in meditation and see Krishna. Dhyana vastita tad gatena manasa. Pashanti. Yam yogino. They could see. But in the Kali Yuga, our minds are not like that. We hardly even want to say what our minds are like in Kali Yuga. But it's bad news. Therefore, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtana. In the Kali Yuga, the silent meditation is not recommended. The recommendation is the meditation by transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The practice is very simple, just to focus the mind on this transcendental sound and not be distracted by other things. Simply to give one's attention to the transcendental sound. That's practice enough. It may not automatically be that my mind will be undiverted. But this is the practice. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatas tato niyam yaitad atman yeva vishamne. Wherever the mind may wander, one has to bring it back to the transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is called attentive chanting. Yunjato yogamatmanah. Yunjata means engaged. The mind can be engaged in Krishna in many ways. By chanting, by hearing, by practical service also. You serve it when I'm doing something for Krishna, naturally I'll think of Krishna. If I'm doing something for my friend or for my husband or wife, naturally I think of my friend or my husband or my wife or my child, my parents, whoever. Doing something for that person, naturally I'll think of that person. So by being engaged in practical service for Krishna, one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, by chanting, by hearing, even by eating, by offering food to Krishna and then accepting the remnants as Krishna prasadam, one becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting Jagannath prasadam, and he was in ecstasy, remembering, oh, how Krishna must have tasted this wonderful food, and it's become more wonderful on account of being tasted by the lips of Krishna. And then he was remembering, thinking of the lips of Krishna, how Krishna was blowing on his flute, and how when he's blowing on his flute, all the living beings in Vrindavan are becoming stunned. The calves are standing there. They're sucking on the udders of their cows. And then they hear the sound of the flute, and they forget what they're doing, and they become absorbed in hearing the sound. And the peacocks begin, they're dancing, but then they also get stunned. And the birds become absorbed in the sound. And the gopis become attracted by the sound of the flute, the cowherd girls. So the whole Vrindavan becomes attracted when Krishna's blowing on his transcendental flute. The demigods even are bewildered by the sound of Krishna's flute. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it started just he was taking a little prasadam. But one thing led to another thing. Oh, this prasadam, this food has been tasted by Krishna. Krishna's tasted it with his lips. His lips are blowing on the flute. The flute is attracting all of Vrindavan. Then being attracted, the gopis are dancing with Krishna. So many things are going on. Because the Krishna touches there. So he became absorbed. So this is the process. By hearing of the pastimes of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, or by hearing the instructions of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, by hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, associating with those who are devotees of Krishna, who are serving Krishna, by practicing, hearing, and chanting, or serving the deity of Krishna, the mind becomes progressively absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And being absorbed in Krishna consciousness means it's automatically not absorbed in Maya. To pull our mind away from something may be very difficult. But to stick our mind into something is practical. And when we stick our mind into something, then it's automatically out of whatever it was into before. Now the child is playing, and you say, all right, now sit, be nice, be good. That lasts a few seconds. But if you give the child something to play with, that can last on and on and on. Because it's positive. And positive means now the child's not doing mischief. If you say, stop this mischief, immediately the child thinks, all right, I'll stop this mischief, but now what's the next mischief? But if you give some positive, constructive program, well, the child becomes absorbed. The mind is something like that. Simply to try to stop the mind, vayu eva shudushkram, that will be very difficult. but to engage the mind in Krishna by nice hearing and chanting, by some philosophy or Krishna subject matter, by service to Krishna, by taking Krishna prasadam. This is all possible. Avyasena tukantaya vairagyena chakriyate. So this is called yunjata. Yunjata means connected. The whole program is just how to connect everything with Krishna. How to connect my family life with Krishna, how to connect my occupational duties, my work with Krishna, how to connect my reading with Krishna, how to connect my speaking with Krishna, how to connect my everything with Krishna. So it's a technique. It's a technique. How to connect everything with the absolute truth or Krishna. And the center of this technique is the mind. The mind should yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshiyet. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, under the guidance of pure devotee of Krishna, one should learn somehow or other. Each person, it may be a little, someone likes to hear more, someone likes to chant more, someone likes to read more, someone likes to serve more. And among the different kinds of services, someone likes to do gardening, someone likes to do cooking, someone likes to do building. It doesn't matter. Somehow or other, one should, the spiritual master guides us how to be connected, yunjata, connected with Krishna. So this technique we should cultivate, and that will make our life successful. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions or comments? It's hard for us to concentrate the mind. So many other things come into the mind. Your mother recently died, so she comes into your mind. So that's good. So that's also good. This is very good. Thinking of Krishna means that Krishna means Krishna, or whatever reminds us of Krishna. The devotee is the person who reminds us of Krishna. So you're thinking of your mother. Your mother was a great devotee of Krishna. She was going to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is Krishna's place. So by thinking of your mother, you're thinking of Krishna. That's nice. Somehow or other, everything is connected with Krishna, directly or indirectly. When it's directly, it's still easier. Your mother was connected with Krishna directly by serving Krishna, by going to Krishna's place. So by thinking of her, you start to remember Krishna. That's nice. Just like the devotees who are here, we expect that the devotees will always be serving Krishna, so their sons and daughters will, when they think of my father, think of my mother, oh, my father was always doing something for Krishna, my mother was always doing puja, like that, they'll think of Krishna. That's nice. You see? Or even someone who's not so directly connected, or something that's not so directly connected, we just have to find where the connection is. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, rasoham apsukantaya. Krishna says, I'm the taste of the water. So, water, it's just water, but for the person who has the clue, Krishna is the taste of the water. So by drinking water, he'll remember, Krishna said, I'm the taste of the water. Wonder what that means. How is that, that Krishna is the taste? So by tasting the water, he'll try to think of Krishna. So he's meditating by drinking water. Prabhasmi shashi suryo. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun, I'm the light of the moon. So by seeing the sun, seeing the moon, we can think of Krishna. Or will trace it. So you see a tree. So then, by reading Bhagavad Gita, you'll think, oh, this tree is a living being. But he's stuck in the body of a tree. The body is Krishna's material energy, and the soul is Krishna's spiritual energy. So now you're thinking of Krishna. But this is all Krishna's energy. So from Bhagavad Gita, we have to learn the technique how to see everything as being connected to Krishna. Even if we think, oh, this is Maya. But Maya is Krishna's energy. Or we can think, oh, Krishna really pulled a good trick with that one. You sent something really bewildering. That means you think of Krishna. How powerful Krishna's material energy is, that everyone is bewildered by this. You see? It's just a question of seeing everything in its relationship to Krishna. And by cultivation, we'll start to see that way. No. While chanting, it's not recommended to focus on Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's picture. Simply focus on the transcendental sound. That's the recommendation. Just try to hear the sound. Now, by hearing the sound, you may naturally think of Krishna's pastimes, you may naturally think of Krishna's form, you may naturally think of Krishna's qualities. That's all right. That's good. That will come. But you don't have to. The meditation is simply to hear. That will be more effective. Trying to focus the mind on a pastime may be difficult. And is not required. But in the holy name of Krishna, everything is there. The form, qualities, pastimes, it's all there. Well, that depends on him. What a person realizes, that may be different from case to case. In the beginning, in any case, our mind is fuzzy, like a mirror that's covered with dust. So what we're seeing is dusty. Then the mind becomes more clear. Generally, in the beginning stages, we have some impersonal idea. Generally. Even if I'm thinking of Krishna, I'm thinking that Krishna represents something higher. Or I'm thinking that by chanting Hare Krishna, I can become one with the Supreme. Or I think in terms of some all-pervading force or something like that. That's the beginning stage. But generally, there's that kind of a tendency. A tendency toward an impersonal realization. Just as when we look up into the sky, first it seems like the sun is everywhere. And it's only when we focus more definitely that we can see, oh, the sun is in a particular place and it's diffusing its energy everywhere. So generally there's some impersonal tendency, but as one progresses in spiritual development, one gets an increasingly personal realization of God or the Absolute. Krishna's form is Krishna's person. Krishna's name is Krishna's person. Person means there'll be a name, there'll be a form, there'll be qualities, there'll be activities. Person is not an abstraction. A person has all of these things. So ultimately realization of Krishna, Prabhupada said, will be like we're sitting seeing one another face to face. You'll see Krishna face to face also. That's personal realization. It's not theoretical. Person means person. I'm a person, you're a person. You can meet Krishna person to person. Is that all right? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Some other question? All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.